This is the story of two friends. This is gonna make a great story.
It's not polite to interrupt a bard when she's relating a heroic tale.
You're a good storyteller.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode number 15 of Xena Fan Fiction Podcast. My name is Amy Boatman, and I am your host. I'm really glad that y'all are joining me. I'm going to be reading part two of Beyond the Rain by Nut56 today. First of all, though, I'd like to thank everybody for sending me email. I love getting email. It's so much fun. And for the great story suggestions, I actually have about five stories now that I want to read. Some of them I haven't heard back from the authors yet, and I like to get permission before I read them. But anyway, I've gotten some great suggestions, and I really appreciate that y'all have taken the time to send those. A couple of things, though, before we get started, I would like to give a shameless plug to my original story, The Last Good Day. It's over at xenacast.com in the original fiction section. It's also at the Academy and the Athenaeum. So go check it out. I think it's a good story, but I'm biased. And I know I say that every single time, but hey, it remains to be true. I would also like to remind everybody about my breast cancer 3-day walk. I've set up a donation link on my own personal website. It's amyboatman.com, AmyBoatman.com. You can go over there, and on the front page right there, you'll see a big old link that says click here, and it'll take you straight to my donation page. Any amount of money at all that you can donate would be extremely helpful. It all, well, the majority of it goes to the Susan G. Komen Foundation. It's a very good cause. So please go over there and give what you can. I would also like to give a big old shout out to all my friends over at the Xena Online Community Board. If you haven't been over to check it out, you really should. There is a link in my show notes. I believe it's over on the right-hand side of the blog. It's an awesome community of Xena fanatics just like me. My username over there is Lavender Jane, so if you pop on over there and you see me, be sure and say hi. So when last we left the story, Xena and Gabrielle had found a baby in the woods. Turns out it belonged to this king, and so the king had them arrested. Although Xena managed to get away, Gabrielle did not, and they took her to this prison. Xena has been going back and forth to the island in a raft that she made to see Gabrielle, and the last time she visited, Gabrielle was no longer in the cell, but she found a woman named Mary who told her that Gabrielle had been taken to the healer because she had been beaten up. So now we will continue with part two of Beyond the Rain by Nut56. The disclaimer for this story is that it does deal with some very dark subject matter. There is violence, some of it of a sexual assault nature, as well as various other dark themes. So if any of this bothers you, you might not want to listen. But if it doesn't bother you, if you think you can get through it, it is well worth it because this story is that good. Xena returned every night, adamant that Gabrielle not spend the dark hours alone, feeling that she had been abandoned. She saw Mary once more, and on a couple of nights the cell was empty. But finally, Gabrielle was there. Sweetheart! The relief was enormous, and Xena pulled herself close to the bars, all her attention on her partner. Oh, I'm so pleased to see you. Are you all right? Gabrielle sat on the floor, her back against the wall, knees pulled up against her chest. Summer was slipping further away, and each night was slightly colder than the last. In semi-darkness, it was difficult to distinguish her features clearly, but Xena saw her lift her head. Xena. Her voice was flat, but Xena didn't pick up on it. Yeah, it's me, she comforted. Hey, come here, where I can see you. Smiling, she reached through the bars, wanting and needing to touch her partner. Gabrielle rose slowly, stiffly, and came to the window. She took and held Xena's hand, but wasn't close enough for the warrior to be able to touch her face. Her hair was unbrushed, and there were grazes on the exposed, grubby areas of her skin. But there were none of the awful wounds that Xena had imagined. I missed you. Moved, Xena pulled up Gabrielle's hand and kissed it, as she often did when they spent quiet time together. Gabrielle allowed this, but didn't move closer. What happened? It's the way it is in here. I haven't learned to behave around the guards. I wasn't careful enough. Not quite meeting Xena's eyes, Gabrielle rubbed at her face. She kept her hands in Xena's, but it was Xena who did all the squeezing and stroking. Look, Xena, I don't want you to come back here again. Xena recoiled at this, puzzled, but Gabrielle continued. You don't understand this place. There isn't an easy way out. It's making it harder for me to keep seeing you like this. Xena thought this was crazy and couldn't begin to understand it. Don't talk like that. I've got a plan. If we work together, we can do this. But Gabrielle was shaking her head and regretfully twisted her hand away. No, Xena, I can't do that. You can. Desperate and frustrated, Xena gripped the bars. Don't give up. Did they do something bad to you? Is that it? Tell me, please. Gabrielle pressed her lips together sadly. It's not that. They just beat me, that's all. I don't want it to happen again. It's not giving up. It's being realistic. Xena was exasperated and didn't know what to say. I love you. She had learned to turn to the phrase when she didn't know how else to express her feelings. She used to find it incredibly hard to say, but being around Gabrielle, who said it so frequently and easily to her, and always when she most needed to hear it, had taught her how rewarding it could be. Gabrielle nodded, as if she had truly heard this. I love you too, Xena. She came close to the wall, took Xena's face between her hands, and kissed her. The metal bars were a slight hindrance, but as Xena closed her eyes, they seemed to dissolve away and let her slide into the luxury of Gabrielle's lips, the warmth of her hands, her smell, and her proximity. She opened her mouth a little, feeling Gabrielle respond softly before pulling back. But I need to be on my own for a bit. Gabrielle withdrew before her friend could grab for her. Go home. Find Argo. Try not to worry. She backed off, her smile sad. But, Gabrielle, just leave, Xena, please. The stunned warrior watched Gabrielle return to her spot in the shadows on the floor. She was so shocked by this new situation that she automatically turned away, her legs carrying her numbly back to her raft. What was wrong with Gabrielle? Why was she suddenly so nihilistic? With each hour that passed, pacing around in her small camp, the angrier Xena became. How dare Gabrielle just give up on the both of them? What kind of justice was this? By the time night fell again, a new plan had formed itself in her mind, with the speed and surety of an army leader, a destroyer of nations. The deadliest viruses kill from the inside. The next time she saw Gabrielle, she was being slung into a cell with her. She almost stumbled over, but managed to keep her balance. The other women turned from their conversations and regarded their new cellmate. Trying to catch her breath, Xena returned their stares, forming a silent tableau, until Gabrielle pushed through from behind the other women. Her back to the guard, Xena's eyes darted across and fixed on Gabrielle, warning. She gave her head an almost imperceptible shake. Gabrielle dropped back, feigning disinterest. The guard slammed the door shut and bolted it. Now serve your time for your impotence, wench. Galeron, whom Xena had discovered was actually second in command of the jail, laughed unpleasantly. Rot with the rest of them. Galeron was a tall, stocky man, with a trimmed beard and gruff voice. He bore scars on his face and gave the orders in the absence of the chief jailer. When the guards had all gone and the corridor was quiet again, Gabrielle ran forward. Xena, what are you doing? Clearly both pleased and dismayed, she put her arms around Xena, tucking her face into the warm embrace that her partner stooped down to offer. I told you not to come here. This was exactly what I wanted to avoid. Most of the other women lost interest and returned to their languid pacing. Some continued to watch. Xena stroked down dusty blonde hair, smiling warmly. It's my own fault for being clumsy. I should have known I wouldn't be able to find you without getting caught. She held Gabrielle's face, her heart warming just to be with her. It doesn't matter. Everything will be all right. Xena. Gabrielle despaired, but reached her arms up around Xena's neck for a long moment of just being together. It was true that she wouldn't have wished for Xena to be in this predicament with her, but the hope it offered and the sheer relief and joy of having her here outweighed all else in that moment. The jail, Zena soon discovered, was a brutal and Spartan place. There were a great many female prisoners, some hardened criminals and some youthful innocents, like Gabrielle. Fair, just practice was not held in high regard. The women were at the mercy of the whims of Galeron, who relished his power and paid little heed to the rules laid down by the absent chief jailer. The building was huge and drafty, and there was a desolate courtyard where the women were made to chop wood or grind stone or wash linen, all the while buffeted by the salty wind coming off the sea. There was a fair degree of camaraderie between some of the women, but others were suspicious of everyone and were only out for themselves. Zena hadn't been on the island a full 2 days when she found out that one of the others had heard her conversation with Gabrielle and turned them both in as being co-conspirators, no doubt in the hope of securing some amount of leniency for herself. Zena had been eating her meager meal of watery broth. It wasn't too appetizing, but then her own cooking didn't set a very high standard, and she was used to eating whatever food she could get and being grateful for it. The guards burst into the cell, creating much panic amongst the other women, and dragged Zena and Gabrielle out into the courtyard where Galeron was waiting. "How dare you, you witches!" he blustered, marching back and forth on stubby legs. "Did you think you were cleverer than me? I tell you, there's no escape from this place. It's Hades on Earth, and you've just brought your own Judgment Day." It was cold, and Zena shivered in her scratchy gray smock. This hadn't ever been part of the plan, admittedly, but a bloody nose never hurt anyone. She glanced over at Gabrielle, quietly proud of the defiant stance she was taking. "What punishment can I find for you?" Galeron approached Zena and stared into her face. His breath wasn't too good, and he had an unpleasantly bulbous nose. Zena lifted her chin and stared back. Huffing, he went over to Gabrielle, who was being held by her arms and couldn't wiggle away, and appraised her, too. Zena was prepared for snarling and anger and violence from him. That was to be expected of someone with limited brain capacity, and could be dealt with. What unnerved her far more was the repugnant smile that spread across his ugly face as he regarded Gabrielle. He reached to touch her cheek, and she jerked her head away. The smile grew into a grin. Galeron gave a curt order, which Zena couldn't make out over the cheering of the half-dozen guards. She was dragged over to an upturned cart close to the building wall, and her frenzied struggling and kicking and biting was ineffectual against the strength and determination of the men, who were warmer and better fed than she. She felt her arms being tied down to the cart with rope, which cut into her wrists if she tried to pull away. For a moment she wondered where the weapons they were planning to use were, but then she registered the excitement on the men's faces, saw the ale skin they passed between them, and realized what they were going to do. Something inside Zena lurched, then sank lower, leaving a heavy, resigned feeling in her chest, and she rested her head back down on the wood. She barely felt the pulling at her clothes and the clumsy nuzzling at her neck. The sky was gray, and she wondered if it would rain. This wasn't the first time, and maybe it wouldn't be the last. It hadn't done her any significant harm so far, not physically at least. There was no point in struggling. Experience had taught her that. She let her legs fall to the sides and closed her eyes. It hurt. But once there, pain was a constant thing and brought no surprises. It was a thing of the mind and could be blocked. Lao Ma had taught her that. She should have taught Gabrielle, Zena thought regretfully. But it would have taken years, years longer than they had had together. She wondered how much longer the two would have. Would they really share the rest of their lives? Or would it all end here, in this grubby, unholy place? A sound brought Zena a little closer to awareness again, and she turned her head to look over to the other cart, some distance off. All she could see of Gabrielle was a flurry of yellow hair, then a fist, then nothing, as she was made to lie down below the level of Zena's vision. Galeron was grinning, so she looked away, back to the clouds slowly crossing the dead sky. She wouldn't have wanted to see, anyway. "Get off me!" Gabrielle demanded, indignant. It was a good little fight to put up, but it was doomed to failure. "Bastards!" Her partner was usually such a gentle soul, Zena thought. It was tragic and unjust that she should lose her innocence like this. "No! No!" The tone of her voice changed from hostility to fear, She had obviously realized her fate, too. Zena's heart twisted in pain for her. Oh, no! Please! Please! Zena squeezed her eyes shut tight when Gabrielle screamed. Wished she could press her hands over her ears, too. It was a sound of such incredible pain and terror and shock that Zena found it unbearable. She tried again to look over, but could only see the leering faces of the guards. Gabrielle, she tried to call out, tried to keep her voice gentle. It's all right, Gabrielle. Don't be frightened. Just relax. It'll soon... She was cut off when a large hand caught her face and yanked it in the opposite direction. Her head was pulled forward by her hair, and a strip of material forced into her mouth. The gag was dry and made it hard to breathe, but the pain was getting worse, and at least it provided something to bite down on. Zena! Gabrielle's voice was full of desperation, panicked and grief-stricken. Zena! Zena couldn't reply. She heard her name again and again, changing from a question to a desperate mantra, screamed, then sobbed. She felt her tears fall over her cheeks and make her neck wet and sticky. The weight of the second man on top of her seemed to squeeze air from her lungs. She wished she could pass out, or at least retreat further into herself, but Gabrielle's terrified crying wouldn't allow that. The girl sounded as if she thought her life was ending. Zena knew it wouldn't, but nor would it ever be quite the same. Gabrielle wasn't a big girl, Zena knew full well. And frightened as she was, it must be hurting like the devil. Not for the first time, Zena cursed herself for her own bloody, wretched existence. At times like this, the feeling couldn't be pushed away. If it weren't for her, if she hadn't wandered into Podidia, Gabrielle would never have been put in this position. And no matter how many times Gabrielle insisted that the guilt was nonsensical, or how much she loved and cherished every day with her partner, this feeling never truly went away. It hurt far more than anything physical ever could. Zena's mind could usually be relied upon to stay alert and focused when she was under stress. She had never been the type to swoon when it all got too much. Maybe it was the cold out here, or the lack of air getting into her lungs, or the hot blood that was beginning to slick down her legs. But consciousness swam away for some indeterminate amount of time. When Zena woke up, it was with a start. She had a sharp pain in her cheek, and as she opened her eyes, she realized it was because her head was resting on the stone floor. She tried to push herself up and couldn't move. Had no feeling in her arm. Panicked for a moment, she felt with her free hand to see if the arm was still there at all. Finding that it was, and had simply gone numb because of her weight on it, she managed to sit. She was back in a cell, a rather large one with a high ceiling. She was alone, and it was just getting dark, her surroundings lit by sickly lantern light, so she knew she couldn't have been out for long. Her head clearing, she took a moment to assess her own condition. A good leader always regrouped and reassessed before beginning afresh. She was bruised and bloody, but there was nothing that wouldn't heal. With a little rest, she would still be functional, and that was all that mattered. Next was her environment. She was chained to the damp wall by a metal cuff around her ankle, but it had a fair amount of slack and didn't stop her stiffly standing up and looking around. There wasn't anything of note except a grate in one wall, the size of a small window, with diamond-shaped holes big enough to fit a hand through. Zena sat down again, having had quite enough of standing, and looked through. On the other side was an identical cell, and it contained a figure. Zena gasped and reached her hand through, even though the prone body was much further than an arm's length away. Gabrielle! She pressed herself against the grill. Gabrielle, can you hear me? She studied the body intensely for a moment. It's me, Gabrielle. The younger woman was obviously still unconscious, and perhaps mercifully so. Blood congealed around her nose, thick and dark, and it was wiped over her face and hands where she'd unknowingly rubbed at it. At least she was clothed again, but there was fresher blood underneath her, and she was pale. Fear went through Zena like never before. Was she looking at a corpse? Would Gabrielle ever get over what had happened out there in the courtyard? When she had been lying on her back on the battlefield with a sword in her face, Zena had felt more rage than fear. When Lysias died, it had been guilt. When her mother disowned her, it was shame. Nothing had been cold and agonizing like this. Gabrielle, she tried more softly. It's all right. It is. You're safe now. You're with me. Open your eyes. miserable tears stung behind her own eyes. "I'm so sorry." She dropped her head, feeling cold and sick. "Gabrielle, I'm just so..." A key turned in the iron lock in Gabrielle's cell, and the door swung open. Zena got to her knees, trying to see. If another guard had come to take his turn, she was sure her fury would be so great that she would tear out the metal grate with her bare hands. "Mary!" Surprised, she called to their friend. "Mary, you've got a key. What's going on?" The elderly woman carried a battered basin in her hands, had some material slung over her shoulder, and clutched a skin under her arm. Moving slowly and sedately, she knelt by Gabrielle and set down her wares, then looked to Zena. "Glad to see you're all right, lass." She smiled a little and nodded. "Did wonder for a time there." She saw Zena's concerned expression. "She's breathing. Don't trouble yourself. Tough little thing is what I think." Resting her hand on one side, she gently rolled Gabrielle over onto her back and stroked matted hair from her face with a calloused hand. "Aren't you? Too tough for them, too strong to be broken." She dipped a square of material into the white basin, wrung it out, then began to clean Gabrielle's face. Relief perked Zena up, giving her a little energy back. "How'd you get the key?" she repeated. Mary shrugged, continuing with her work. "I help run the infirmary, do what I can. They wanted me to check on her." "Wait, you work for them? You take orders from them?" Zena was appalled. "How could you?" Mary paused for a moment, not turning to face Zena, but instead gazing up out of a high window. "I was brought here when I was a lass, not much older than you. All my life inside these walls. It's no way to live." She shook her head, her hand playing unconsciously in Gabrielle's hair. "Aye, no way at all. But you keep your head down, you do as they say, let them think they own you, and you stay alive." She returned to her task, untying the cords of Gabrielle's tunic. "His favorite I was, too, for a bit." "Just like you, lassie, just like you," she told Gabrielle and shook her head. "I would like to see my children again, my girl and the wee laddie, if he got through the fever." She sighed. "That would be good for an old woman." Zena couldn't reply to this and sat silently for a while, watching the wrinkled hands at their work. They were gentle but purposeful, and Gabrielle was washed in a motherly fashion before she had a chance to get too cold. The whole situation was escalating in intensity by the day. It had begun as a plan to grab Gabrielle and get away, but now Zena saw that if they did manage to escape, she couldn't let it end there. The guards would have to be brought to justice for what they had done, and the other prisoners like Mary would be freed and returned to the lives they were snatched away from. It was a noble idea, but from where Zena sat, her clothes scratching her skin and the taste of blood in her mouth, it seemed as good as impossible. After a time, she spoke again. "Turn her face toward me. I want to see her." Mary understood this and settled Gabrielle's head comfortably. She regarded the girl sadly for a moment, then picked herself and her goods up. "Do you have the other keys?" Zena asked hopefully. The old woman shook her head. "I'm not that trusted, love." She held up the one black key she had and enclosed it in her palm. "And if this one doesn't get back to him, I'll be sent to my maker before he's good and ready for me." She came over to Zena and patted her hand, genuine sympathy on her features. "Good night, lass. May the gods bless the both of you." She picked up her long skirts and headed for the door. Zena squeezed her hands around the bars, using their solidity to give her focus. In her position of trust, Mary would be a powerful ally to have. "Mary, we can't give in to them. We have to fight. Can't you see? If we don't stand up and do something, we'll be here for the rest of our lives. And next week there'll be another Gabrielle for them to rape, another mother to take away from her family." She got up on her knees. "Please help me. We can find a way." Mary didn't pause, though, and her voice was weary. "Too old for fightin', I am. Too old and too tired." The door closed, and her slow footsteps retreated down the corridor. Zena sat thinking for a long time, gazing down at Gabrielle until the wind blew the small candle flames out and it got too dark to see her. The worst thing, Zena decided, was that there would be no one looking for them. They were happy in their own company and led surprisingly insular lives. There were many people whom Zena considered friends, Joxer and Effany, Princess Diana and Lilla, but it would be months before anyone puzzled over their absence. Even her mother, who she was closer to now than she had ever been as a youth, didn't expect to see her daughter for seasons at a time. And how would Gabrielle's parents feel, and all her various cousins and in-laws, when they learned what had happened to their sweet-natured, loving child? Zena knew she deserved all the hatred they would feel towards her. Perhaps Gabrielle had been right. Perhaps there was something to be said for having children. Someone who would notice you when you were missing, and remember you when you were gone. Zena hadn't done too well on that score, she thought with regret. Solon wouldn't even recognize her if they crossed paths. The next day, Zena was pulled out of her cell before she could look through the grate for Gabrielle. The jail was a large institution for a deceptively small chunk of land, and it wasn't difficult for the guards to separate two prisoners whom they perceived as posing a danger. Days passed, and Zena didn't see or hear of Gabrielle. She was sure her injuries hadn't been life-threatening, and was confident that she was alive, but that was only small consolation as the days stretched into weeks and finally months. Each day followed a similar pattern, and after a while life seemed almost normal. The mind can come to accept almost any situation with surprising rapidity. Zena worked hard and kept quiet. She quickly learned that only those who caused trouble took the beatings. The others were largely ignored. If the guards forgot to give her food one day, she was wiser than to remind them. If she was given a heavier stone to move than the woman next to her, she made no complaint. She had every intention of causing the guards trouble, but it would be when she chose to, when there was a purpose. Principle alone wasn't a strong enough motivator to get on their wrong side. Sometimes a prisoner, especially someone new to the island, would go too far, and they would find themselves in the hangman's noose. Galleron took great delight in these occurrences, turning them into events of entertainment, gathering everyone around to watch. Thus, Zena felt secure that Gabrielle must still be alive and well enough to work. Death was never a private affair on the island. The problem was how to get to Gabrielle without the guards knowing. Given enough planning and just a little luck, Zena thought that she would be able to make good her escape, but there certainly wouldn't be time for searching every cell for her partner, and fleeing alone would put her in no better position than she had been in months ago when the sun still held heat. Patience seemed to be the only card she had left to play. The winter months held rich pickings for Galleron, as otherwise God-fearing folk committed petty crimes to provide food for their families over the solstice. Conditions became crowded, and the guards were keener than ever to dispatch members of their charge to Hades, to make room for younger, stronger specimens. Zena knew her earlier indiscretion hadn't been forgotten, and it didn't come as any great surprise, if she was truthful, when her number was up. "Too much trouble, this one," the guard unlocking her cell declared. "Got beady eyes, always plotting and planning. Galleron wants rid of her." He gestured his colleague inside. "Plus we need the room for a pretty little thing from Thrace." Zena allowed herself to be pulled to her feet. The second guard looked younger and had a nervous manner. "But it's late," he protested. "Almost dark. You know how Galleron will be if he misses a gutting." Zena's stomach turned, not a pleasant prospect. "Hmm," the bigger man grumbled, apparently given pause by this. "Put her in the holding cell, then. It'll wait till morning." Zena followed along stone corridors that were new to her. The need for escape had taken on a new urgency, and she tried to memorize every turn, to scan every brick for some opportunity. "Here you are, then." Stopping at a large, dark cell, the guard pushed Zena through the door, then locked it and left. There were only two small windows, very high and impossible to squeeze through, even without the bars. The whole space was in shadow, and Zena had to stand, blinking for a moment, before she could see much at all. It was time to start making rapid alliances. "Anyone else in here?" Everyone else she had spoken to was either apathetic, like Mary, or full of bravado and dead. There was a scuffle in a far corner. "Zena!" The voice sent warmth flooding through Zena's heart, and she reached out. "Gabrielle!" "Zena?" "Gabrielle, oh, Gabrielle, where are you?" She moved forward at a run. "Here, here!" And then Gabrielle was there in front of her, alive and smiling. None of the beauty gone from her face. None of the color faded from her exquisitely green eyes. They got their arms clumsily around each other and stood as if suspended in time and separated from everything else in the world. They clutched at each other, wanting to feel warmth and vitality and love. "Thank the gods!" Zena held Gabrielle securely in her arms and rocked her from side to side, pressing kisses into her hair. Gabrielle looked up at her, and they nuzzled cheeks. I never stopped thinking about you. Nor me. Gabrielle tucked her face into her partner's neck to smell her familiar, comforting aroma. I missed you so much. I wish I could think of a way out of this. You know what this place is, don't you? Gabrielle nodded and rested her forehead against Zena's chest. The warrior seemed to want to touch her all over, to squeeze and hold her, but Gabrielle just wanted to be still and to hear Zena's heartbeat against her ear. I know. They have the nooses ready. She watched Zena's hands slide down her arms and their fingers interweaved. It doesn't matter. Nothing lasts forever. She sighed. Zena, why did you let them catch you? I don't understand. It's not like you. I told you if you came back, they'd know. Everything that's happened to us here. How did they catch you? Zena smiled sadly and stroked back some blonde hair. That was the whole idea. I always intended to be caught. It was the only way to get here to you. I tried everything else. I figured it would get us both in the same place without them having to know that we were working together. Things didn't go quite so well to plan after that, though. She played the lock of hair between her fingers, then lay it carefully over Gabrielle's shoulder. It was matted and unbrushed, not shiny and silky as it always used to be. But to Zena, it didn't matter. Gabrielle nodded, understanding. She was grateful for what Zena had done, but her devotion had condemned her to death. You shouldn't have done that. No choice, Gabrielle. No. Gabrielle was quite aware that if their positions had been reversed, she would have copied Zena's actions. She inhaled deeply, smiled because Zena was there with her. Look, they even gave me a bed in here. And I do use the term loosely. You think Galeron's developing some compassion? She tried to chuckle and took Zena's hand to show her to a blank-covered wooden pallet on the ground. Just standing up took a considerable amount of energy when you hadn't eaten a decent meal for some time, so Zena sat and smiled to have Gabrielle close to her. They got as comfortable as they could, Gabrielle resting her weight on Zena, curled against her chest. They were silent for a while, both aware of each precious moment as it ticked by. I'm not afraid, Gabrielle said suddenly, feeling Zena's chin on her head. I'm not afraid. Let them do what they see fit tomorrow. You and I will be together. I feel it. It was an admirable sentiment, and Zena was proud of her friend's bravery. Uh-huh. She slid down, tired, and they rested, lying on their sides, arms and legs touching, their noses almost together. Zena could see the light reflected in her partner's pretty eyes. I feel that, too. Gabrielle reached up and traced her fingertips over Zena's lips. There'll be something better next. We won't ever have to see a place like this again. At least it'll be an ending to this. I mean... Her voice quietened, held an edge of anger, trembled slightly. If they rape me again, I don't think that I... Shh. Not able to bear hearing that, Zena kissed her partner's forehead. Don't think about that. Please, don't think it. Gabrielle nodded, sniffing back tears. I won't. I want you to know, Zena tried to distract her. I want you to know that you are the most precious person in all the world to me. You're my spirit and my light. You're a part of me. I love you, Gabrielle. It always surprised Zena to hear those words in her own voice. There had been a time when she no longer thought herself capable of emotion. Now it took no effort to say. It was always genuine and warm, and she always marveled at how much it visibly moved Gabrielle. Three simple words. Oh, Zena, I love... Gabrielle had pushed herself close and replaced her fingertips with her mouth. She closed her eyes and let the kiss consume her. Their bellies pressed together, Zena's hands wrapped around the slender body in her arms, and Gabrielle's kneaded themselves into thick brown hair. Zena returned the kiss, her eyes closing too, and tasted Gabrielle in her mouth. She knew they were two halves of one whole, and even death wouldn't separate them. Gabrielle's kiss softened, and her arms came to rest on Zena's shoulders. Realizing she was tired, the warrior encircled Gabrielle's head gently in her arms and supported it until the kiss was over. Eyes still closed, Gabrielle settled herself. I keep thinking about a nursery rhyme that Mother used to sing to me, even before Lilla was born. The little tune keeps running through my head. Mm-hmm. Zena kissed her hair. How's it go? You know I can't sing. Gabrielle laughed at herself. I don't care. Sing it to me. She just wanted to hear Gabrielle's voice, to focus on it exclusively. Inhaling gently, Gabrielle sang the childish little song to her. As with all bedtime melodies, it was an idyllic, perfect world of peace and greenery. It detailed all the wonderful things that would be found there, all the opportunities for fun, loaded with assurances of love and companionship. It was a nice place to believe in. The relaxing imagery, along with the bard's soft voice, lulled them both close to sleep. Gabrielle opened her eyes and gazed up at her soulmate, giving her a smile. There was nothing left to say. Zena knew a smile in return would be enough. She continued to watch until Gabrielle's eyes closed again and she fell asleep. She really was beautiful, bruised and smudged as she was. Zena gazed at her a little longer, then gingerly set her down, hoping she would sleep peacefully. Whatever happened tomorrow, Zena thought, at least they would do it together. She laid her head on Gabrielle's chest, where it was warm and comforting, and let her own exhaustion take her into sleep. The morning came before Zena had even registered the passing of the night, inevitable and final. The courtyard was full of prisoners and guards, as was customary, and Galeron was giving his usual menacing speech about today being an example to others who were planning to step out of line. He paraded along the ranks of women, blustering and spitting. Zena barely noticed. Her attention was fixed on Gabrielle, who smiled softly back at her, and she allowed herself to live in gentle green eyes that were more familiar even than her own. If this was to be the path the fates had cast for them, so be it. They would walk it together and be ready for new adventures on the other side. Zena wondered if Gabrielle's articulate, illustrative mind was swimming with quotations from ancient texts she had read, paintings and crumbling temples she had seen. Such works always encompass life and death. Maybe she would find comfort and reassurance in the memory of them. Zena didn't much care for poetry or art, and doubted she would have understood any of the great works anyway, but she wished there'd been time for Gabrielle to tell her a few of the stories. Just as she had the ability to simplify and illustrate battle plans and strategies for her partner, Gabrielle could remodel and bring to life myths and tales for the warrior. Zena was dimly aware of some activity amongst the guards and gazed over to them. The portcullis in the eastern wall had been raised, and underneath it stood the man whom Zena recognized to be the chief jailer. He was rarely seen, only at events like this, and she didn't think she'd ever heard him speak, but she'd been told his name was Alcmaeon. Galeron behaved in a marginally more civilized manner when his commander was around, and Zena hoped his presence would mean a quicker and relatively more dignified end. She turned away, not interested in the pomp and politics, and let her gaze settle back on Gabrielle. The younger woman smiled again, brave and serene. Zena thought it was an image she'd like to carry with her always. Suddenly there was a great commotion behind them. Zena struggled to see, her arms held by a burly jailer. A mass of people had crowded around the building. There was chaos for a few moments, with some of the women trying to run and the guards catching and beating them for their insubordination. When the throng had cleared, Zena could see that a handful of the guards were struggling to lift the heavy portcullis, which had somehow come loose of its fastenings and crashed down onto Alcmaeon. There was much shouting from them and floundering from him until finally he was pulled free. Alcmaeon didn't rise, but remained on the earth, kicking out and grasping at his throat. Zena felt a grin rise up in her, and she didn't bother to suppress it. So the very symbol of his status had come down and compressed his airway. It was perfect justice, in a place where there was none. Served the bastard right, Zena thought. May he rot in Tartarus with all the women who had been sent to their deaths under his jurisdiction. Zena knew that a sharp jab on the right pressure point in his neck would free his airway and save him. The power to rule over life and death was powerful, she had to admit. She would stand here, watching in mock helplessness, while his life writhed and ebbed away. If Gabrielle had been in her position, she would have saved him, no matter how good or evil she judged him to be. Zena didn't think she had ever possessed that purity of spirit. If she had, years at the head of Greece's most feared army had quashed it forever. A movement behind the melee caught Zena's eye, and she looked up. It was Mary, who had been standing quietly at the back of the crowd throughout. She fixed Zena with such an intense gaze that the warrior couldn't look away. As she watched, Mary slowly brought her hand out from behind her back and uncurled her fingers to reveal the brass hoop around which the rope that held the portcullis had been tied. Its pointed end was dusty with brick debris. Xena's eyes traced the lines of the rope, which now hung slack and useless, then returned to Mary. The old woman winked. It was then that Xena knew she had to take her chance. She twisted against the guard, trying to break free. "I can save him! I can save him!" she called out. "I know what to do. Let me help." She glanced over to Gabrielle, who was watching her with surprise, but knew better than to interfere. Galeron shook his head sharply and waved his hand at the guard who held Xena, but Alcmaeon thumped his fist on the impacted earth and frantically beckoned her over. Released, Xena ran through the assembled bodies and dropped to her knees by the long, spindly body. She got astride it, enjoying herself already, and drew back a hand. Alcmaeon looked up at her, panic-stricken, veins bulging around his widened eyes. "I can help," Xena told him. "But there's a catch." "There's always a catch, isn't there, Alcmaeon?" He shook his head and spread his hands, disbelieving. Xena laughed. "I'll save your life, if you save mine." She leaned down. "Let me go. And her." She cocked her head in Gabrielle's direction. Galeron, who was kneeling by Alcmaeon's head, grunted indignantly and folded his arms across his chest. "Absolutely not. You're a prisoner of the state." Alcmaeon smacked at him comically, then nodded vigorously to Xena and pointed at his neck. "You are a man of your word, aren't you, Alcmaeon?" Xena toyed with him. "A deal's a deal, right?" she reminded. "You'll be in my debt." She had been right. It was a good feeling. All too addictive, too. Xena knew it was a tendency within her, a predisposition. Violence ran in her blood, and she'd lost count of the number of times that only Gabrielle prevented her from giving in to it. Alcmaeon nodded again and mouthed something indecipherable. "Well, all right." Xena pulled back her arm and shot two fingers into his neck, making him jerk with the pain of it. Alcmaeon gasped in a breath, color rushing back to his face, and Xena stood triumphantly to massage her hand. When Alcmaeon was able to speak, he was good to his word. Grudgingly, he repaid his debt. Galeron protested noisily, but in vain. "There's a vote, more down by the gates." Alcmaeon's voice was husky, and he didn't look at Xena as he rubbed at his neck. "Take what you want and go." Xena went over to Gabrielle and untied her. Relief and celebration would have to wait. She just wanted to get off this island. She stepped over to Mary and didn't notice Galeron lean into Gabrielle as she passed him. He whispered something against her ear, grinning and ruddy-cheeked, and she shivered visibly and hurried to catch up with Xena. The warrior reached out to shake Mary's hand. "Thank you," she said sincerely. Mary chuckled, looking suddenly youthful. "Old things been loose for years? I was just waiting for an opportunity." "I'll come back for you, all of you, I promise." The old woman nodded. "I've never had a doubt." It would arouse suspicion to linger, so Xena gave a nod, then gathered up Gabrielle and they fled. They jumped onto the small kayak and rowed hard, fighting the seasonal strong waves and the fear that was still urgent within both of them. They were weak from the lack of food, and every muscle hurt, but adrenaline served them well. Pausing for a moment on the beach, Xena caught Gabrielle's arm. "Look." She pointed upwards, above the leafy horizon, where there hung a bright rainbow, streaks of incandescent color in a dusty sky. "To welcome us home." "Home," Gabrielle agreed. The pastel lines reflected within her eyes, and they shared a quick, fierce hug before moving to dig up their belongings from where Xena had buried them. They changed into their own clothes and headed inland. Argo wasn't hard to find, and she greeted them with a contrary mix of joy at their return and consternation at their absence. Then they traveled toward the city, wanting urgently to put space between themselves and Galeron's men. It wasn't until they had been traveling for several days and had several nights' good sleep that the adrenaline subsided a little. To say life was normal again was untrue, but there was some time for normal activities. Xena laid down and pulled the blanket over her. It was fairly early, and she no longer felt excessively tired, but Gabrielle still seemed to tire quickly and was already curled on her side, her breathing steady. They had been doing a lot of traveling, Xena thought, heading toward the palace for an audience with the king. "Warm enough?" Gabrielle mumbled, her hands close to her face. She had taken to wearing some of her older clothes until they could replace her green shirt. a longer brown skirt and a sky blue blouse that reminded Zena of when they met, and they kept her warmer than her old attire would have done. Good. Zena crossed her ankles and settled her head on her hands. It occurred to her that a life of freedom took almost as much adjusting to as life in prison. It was ironic, but facing death had been liberating in its own way. She had spent half her life being afraid of death, and the other half welcoming it. So to finally come face to face with it, to think it inevitable, removed all the uncertainty. The same could be said for Gabrielle, of course, and Zena silently thanked whoever was listening for Gabrielle's health and happiness. She rolled over, weary of her own endless analysis, and wrapped an arm around her partner. Gabrielle made appreciative purring sounds and shuffled herself back into the cuddle. "This is nice," she mumbled, stroking the palms of her hands over Zena's forearms in a motherly fashion. Zena kissed the back of her head, wholeheartedly agreeing. She patted her hand on Gabrielle's belly. "How much have you been eating?" she teased. "You're worse than Argo. I'm glad to see you've put some weight back on." Gabrielle gave a non-committal chuckle, but in her good humor, Zena missed the significance of it. She moved her hand to pull a free strand of hair from her eyes, leaning over Gabrielle's shoulder. The smaller woman lifted her elbow helpfully and waited for Zena to get comfortable, and barely noticed when her partner accidentally brushed her breast. Since they had been together, truly together, they had been physically intimate, and Gabrielle had never felt bashful. Zena paused. "Gabrielle, you're bigger everywhere." Frowning, she propped herself up on an elbow. "I think..." Barely able to comprehend the connections her mind was making, Zena ran her hands down Gabrielle's front. "I think you're..." Gabrielle sighed. "Pregnant. I know. I am, Zena. I haven't been bleeding." She rolled onto her back. "At first I thought it was the shock, but..." She shrugged. Zena felt like a child who couldn't understand the link between one event and another, who lacked the capacity to take in some new situation that was all too real. I don't see how." In the semi-darkness, Gabrielle lifted up her top and took Zena's hands to gently guide them over her swollen abdomen. Incredulous, Zena felt. A stranger would simply think that Gabrielle had a slightly rounded figure, but Zena knew her partner's body, and, unclothed, could see that she was unmistakably pregnant. Her nipples had darkened and enlarged slightly, and Zena noticed that Gabrielle encouraged her to use a lighter touch with them than she usually would have wanted. Gabrielle looked up into Zena's face. "It must have been in the jail, what they did to us." She couldn't bring herself to say it, knowing how it hurt the both of them, and quietly rearranged her clothes. "I'm sorry." "Oh." Shaken from her shock, Zena helped pull Gabrielle's clothes around her, then hugged her tightly, hiding her face in the girl's neck. "No, I'm sorry." She felt Gabrielle's hand stroking her hair soothingly. How characteristic for Gabrielle to be the stronger of them at a time like this. "I know of... Well, there are herbs you can take. We just need to find a market. I'll..." "No." Gabrielle's voice was firm, and she pressed her cheek and a kiss to Zena's face before resting her head back on the blanket to make eye contact. "No, Zena, this is my baby. Our baby. It's something that I want. I can't change what's happened, but I can have a say in my future." She held Zena's hands to her stomach. There were tears in the corners of her eyes, but she was determined. "You and I, right?" She brought Zena's hand up to her mouth and kissed it. Zena managed to press out a smile. "If that's what you want." "I do." "Go to sleep, then. We'll talk some more in the morning." Aware that she had sounded rather abrupt, Zena lay back down and let Gabrielle curl up against her shoulder. The dark sky overhead seemed less settled than it had been moments before. Nothing in life was constant. The very idea of having the child of the monster who had violated you seemed fundamentally wrong to Zena. What was inside Gabrielle would be little more than a cluster of tissue, no more alive than a chipped nail or a dried scab that would be better off discarded. Gabrielle, of course, wouldn't see it that way. To her, all life was precious. The more of death one saw, Zena thought, the less important life seemed to be. When the morning came, Zena didn't want to talk about the pregnancy, and Gabrielle didn't even want to think about the rape, so little was actually said. They headed into the town. It was lively and prosperous, and Xena imagined that the king had little idea of how his orders were being interpreted over on his prison island. They found a suitable-looking inn just in time for supper. It would do them both good to spend a couple of nights in a proper bed. When Xena jumped down from Argo, she saw for the first time how tired Gabrielle looked. Walking behind, the girl hadn't complained, but she was leaning heavily on her staff, and Xena felt instantly guilty. It was customary for her to ride and Gabrielle to walk. It was how it had always been and how Gabrielle preferred it, because it gave her the opportunity to wander off into the forest if a wild berry or a tame bird caught her eye. Xena realized that there would be a lot of things that would have to change with the progression of the pregnancy. All the things that she found comfort and security in. They ate a meal and then climbed the small varnished stairs to their room. "Why don't you get an early night?" Xena suggested gently. "I'll handle this." "I can come and help," Gabrielle offered, propping her staff against the window sill. "The king thinks you tried to kidnap his son, remember? And now you're an escaped convict. It's best if I go alone." Gabrielle had to agree with that. "Well, all right, but be careful." She was tired and lay down on her bed, yawning. "Uh-huh," Xena humored her. Before she left, she squatted down by the bed to look into Gabrielle's peaceful face. In the time it had taken her to organize her belongings, her friend had fallen asleep and was now snoring softly. Xena stroked back a wisp of hair, noticing that it had darkened slightly and taken on an almost ginger hue. The warrior's emotions were mixed, and she didn't know what to make of them. Most powerful of all was the desire to protect her partner, to keep her safe and close, and to nurture whatever it was her heart desired. Xena sighed. Grudgingly, she pushed to her feet. "I won't be long." She leaned down and kissed the oblivious girl's forehead, then went to find the king. She had been right in suspecting that he was a fundamentally good man, if a little out of touch, and he seemed genuinely disturbed to hear of what was happening. The innocent prisoners would be set free, he said, and the guilty would be tried fairly. Galeron and Alcmaeon, who was no better for turning a blind eye, would be suitably punished. Xena believed him, but politely reminded him that she would come back to check that he had been good to his word, and there would be all hell to pay if conditions didn't meet with her satisfaction. With that task done, she stopped at a small tavern and traded a dinar for a jug of ale. The more she drank, the more melancholy her mood became. She played the rough wooden mug between her hands, gazing down into the musky amber liquid. What had happened to Gabrielle, to them both, had been her fault. She had learned to accept that Gabrielle traveled with her through choice, and when they ran into unpleasant situations, it was a consequence of that decision that Gabrielle had to take responsibility for. What she couldn't accept, however, was when her own actions compromised Gabrielle's safety, when she wasn't strong or quick enough to win a fight, or when her plans were found wanting. Now, not only would Gabrielle be left with the psychological scars of what had happened, she would have a child who had no father but resembled everything that she feared. Xena knew that every time she saw the infant, she would see Galeron. She took another gulp of her ale and wondered why she wasn't charging back to the island to slice Galeron's ugly head off. She inhaled deeply. Was Gabrielle angry at her? Was this some form of revenge? Once the child was born, a child that would never be hers. All Gabrielle's attention and affection would be taken up with it, and everything that Xena enjoyed in life would have to disappear. And perhaps, worst of all, Gabrielle would have her child, and Solon would still be leagues away, not even knowing his own mother's name. Xena cursed silently into her mug. What was the alternative? To leave Gabrielle? To go their separate ways? Even in her drunken state, she knew that was laughably stupid and shook her head. The ale wasn't helping. It never did, really, and she wasn't sure why she'd drunk so much of it back when she ruled her army. Perhaps it was just to numb the pain of her smashed legs. It certainly didn't numb her heart. Her body had been considerably more tolerant of the alcohol back then, though, she thought, as she made her way unsteadily out of the building. Had those days really been so long ago? It wouldn't do to go back to Gabrielle like this. It wasn't fair to wake her, and in any case, she would only disapprove. The moon was up, and there were few people about. Xena wandered the short distance to the edge of the town and out into the woodland. It was where she always felt most comfortable, amongst the freshness of the leaves, where she could be alone. Her feet turned heavy, and she scowled down at them. When they refused to move, she gave in and sat messily at the base of a big old tree, leaning back against its trunk. She watched an owl hopping from branch to branch, its fluorescent eyes standing out against the blackness of the sky. "Be grateful you don't have my problems," she told it, then gathered up some pebbles to send bouncing aimlessly over the ground by her boots. The owl cooed loudly at her, then flew away, back to its family. Xena nodded, her head heavy and continuing under its own momentum. "Well, good for you, anyway." How could she have thought of Gabrielle as a problem? Some days she was the only reason Xena went on living. She was light and goodness and strength. How unkind to think of her in that way when her life and her plans didn't run neatly alongside Xena's. None of this was her fault. "You've been on your own too long," Xena told herself, and sat up to inspect a hole in the leather of her boots. She heard a sound off in the woods somewhere and froze listening. The thumping of hooves grew louder. If someone wanted to attack her, she hoped they wouldn't mind if she stayed sitting down. The hooves beat out a familiar, dainty rhythm, though, and she rested back. "What do you want?" Argo picked her way across the stones to Xena and grumbled softly. She looked surprisingly big from this angle, and without her saddle or reins, she was as wild and beautiful as the day Xena found her. "What?" Bowing her head, Argo came over and stood across Xena's legs, presenting her sandy belly. She scuffed her front hoof on the ground. "Let me see." Xena picked up the leg and examined the shoe. "How'd you get a stone in there?" Scowling, she rooted around for a stick, then worked on digging out the offending pebble. Argo whinnied innocently. Xena wasn't fooled by that for a moment. Her unruly hair fell into her eyes, and she tutted and pushed it back with her arm. "Do you think I'm a good mother?" The horse snorted noncommittally. "I mean, I take care of you all right, don't I?" Argo shifted her weight. "Will you hold still?" "I guess we look after each other." She flicked the stone out from under the iron horseshoe and set down the leg. "There you go." She rested her head back on the bark to stop it swimming and stroked the lean, sandy leg. "Although you could use a wash. You're a little ripe, you know that?" She turned up her nose, forced to gaze at the horse's belly. "Huh. Maybe I can't even bring up a horse right." The alcohol in her veins made the observation funny and at the same time miserably astute. She sighed, letting her hand play over a knobby knee. "Gabrielle's done so much for me. I can't imagine where I'd be if it weren't for her. She saved me. How can I let her make a mistake like this?" Hearing a munching sound, she looked up to see Argo lipping at an apple. "Are you even listening to me?" The Palomino looked back to her guiltily, her jaws pausing in their gleeful chewing. "She doesn't see that it's a mistake," Xena explained. Argo listened intently, her eyes narrowing in concentration. "I know how she thinks. The way she sees it, it'll make something good out of a bad situation." She shrugged. "Maybe it will. Maybe it will make her happy." She laid her head to one side, smiling a little. "She would make a good mother." Giving up on this, Argo returned her attention to the apple tree. She selected a ripe green fruit and carefully deposited it in Xena's lap. "Oh." Xena rolled it in her hands. "No thanks." Argo nudged at her gently, blinking long eyelashes. "Well, all right." She bit into the juicy fruit, thinking that the moisture might do something for her beating head. "Gabrielle deserves to be a mother. Just because I wrecked my chance doesn't mean she will. You support someone when there is someone that you..." Xena held her palms in front of her, studying the lines and trying to forage out the right word. Argo gave a monosyllabic neigh, pushing up her head so that a wave ran through her mane. "Love, yeah," Xena agreed. With that settled, Argo picked her way over Xena's sprawled legs and stood with her rear toward her mistress, waiting. "You're right, it is late." Xena tried to push herself up. "Hope you know the way." The world swung around dizzyingly, and she clutched at her head. "The gods on Olympus! Do I look as old as I feel right now?" When Xena didn't look like moving, the mare returned to her and offered her back. Xena climbed up and clung onto the warm body, stroking her hands through the oily white hair at Argo's neck. Thanks, girl. Just take it a little easy, will ya? World's not too steady right now. Argo trotted back and deposited her outside the inn, nudging her inside. The ale had worn off in the fresh air, and all Xena wanted to do was sleep. She found her way into the dark room and shrugged off her leathers. Her own bed, across the room, looked unappealing, so she slid into the first bed next to Gabrielle, who was still sleeping peacefully. Xena pushed her back against Gabrielle's body and felt a slender arm unconsciously find its way around her. The whole room seemed to swing, so she closed her eyes. She squeezed the small hand in hers, thinking it was cool compared to her sweaty palms, and held it to her as she fell asleep. Thanks to their respective conditions, they both slept relatively late. When Gabrielle woke, she felt refreshed and comfortable, and lay with a hand stroking gently between Xena's shoulder blades until she too woke up. "I didn't hear you come in." "I was longer than I planned." Xena rubbed at her sore head, trying to piece together what had happened the night before. "How'd it go?" "Good. It's over." Gabrielle sighed, relieved. "Oh, thank the gods. They'll all be free? Mary and all the others?" Her hand was still and warm on Xena's back. A pause. "And Galeron?" "Forget about him. Don't even think about any of that anymore." Xena rolled onto her back to look at Gabrielle. For her, it would have been a simple command to follow. For Gabrielle, it was as good as impossible. They moved into a cuddle, and Gabrielle was responsive enough, molding her body to Xena's and snuggling against her playful kisses. Her hands simply rested on her partner's shoulders, though, and when the taller woman's fingers eased down the strap of her shift, she shrugged away and righted her clothes. She sat, gazing across at an old tapestry hung on the wall, and Xena was left looking at her back. "What?" "I'm sorry," Gabrielle told her. She shrugged, but her voice was sincere. "I just don't feel like it right now. Must be the baby and everything." They sat in silence for a time, light from the window playing over the bed and a soft breeze from somewhere ruffling Gabrielle's golden hair as it lay on her back. Xena was deflated and confused. She felt frustration and guilt and anger all over again and waited sullenly for it to subside into pity. "No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have." She touched Gabrielle's arm, making a connection with her. "Is it what happened?" "No," Gabrielle surprised her by saying. "No, I don't think it's that at all. I just don't feel it. I think it's what's happening now to my body." She looked back to Xena, excited and hopeful. Xena wasn't often emotive, and her expression gave little of her feelings away, but she lowered her eyes, and it moved Gabrielle up the bed again. "Xena," she pressed the palm of her hand gently to Xena's brow, stroking back hair. "We haven't talked about what happened, have we? Not really. Would it help?" Xena rubbed her face into Gabrielle's palm, steeling herself against all the sorrow that washed up in her. She fervently did not want to talk about all of that, to have to relive Gabrielle's screams, to hear her sobbing again and have to face the utter helplessness and humiliation that those days had brought. "It's in the past. None of that matters now." "But it does. It does matter because of this." Gabrielle took Xena's hand and laid it on her stomach. "Xena, I can't do this without you." When she inhaled, her abdomen pressed up against Xena's hand, warm and soft. "Please, say you're with me." Xena felt her partner's body, felt how it was familiar and yet changed. Imagined she could sense the life inside her. "I'm here," she promised. "I'm right here." She had made her decision the night before, and she was committed to it. She had vowed to support Gabrielle in whatever she did years ago, so there was really no choice to make. "I'm sorry I dismissed the idea of us being a family." She still felt guilty about the way they had parted when Galeron's men found their camp. "I didn't mean it how it sounded. It's not that I'm not committed to you, it's just a baby is a big responsibility, and our lifestyle..." Was she able to offer a baby any more now than she had been able to offer Solon all those years ago? "We love each other. That's enough. That makes a family." Gabrielle smiled warmly at her, stroking her face and kissed her hair. "Family." Xena let the smaller woman lie down in her arms and pulled the blanket up over them both. They had slept half the morning. A few more minutes wouldn't make much difference. There was no place for regrets or uncertainty in Xena's mind from then on. If having this child was what would make Gabrielle happy, it would be what she pursued wholeheartedly. Before they left the town, she bought a lush cream fur to put over Argo's back. "It'll be more comfortable for you," she told Gabrielle proudly. "From now on, you ride. Here, give it a try." She held the stirrup ready. "Until Argo decides I'm too heavy," Gabrielle laughed, hauling herself up. "You've got a while yet." She took the reins and led Argo toward the path. "You're sure you don't want to stay here a bit longer?"
"Nah, we should get moving. Besides, we don't have the dinars."
So where are we headed?" Gabrielle reached down to pat Argo's neck. The sheepskin was soft against her legs, and she let her feet swing out of the stirrups.
"Where do you want to go?"
Xena glanced back over her shoulder.
"Where do you want to have your baby, Gabrielle?
At home?"
Gabrielle smiled, thinking about that. "I would like to go to Potidaea. My aunt is a midwife, you know, and it would be good to be with Mother and Lilla."
She chuckled to herself. "You'll have to be there to hold my hand, though." Xena snorted comically at that. Argo copied her.
"And mop my brow," Gabrielle continued, oblivious. "And do things like that."
Privately, Xena thought that Gabrielle had a rather naive view of what giving birth would be like, but she was young and couldn't be expected to have anything other than a fairy tale view of things. She would find out soon enough and survive it, as Xena had. To be continued. Well, that was part two of Beyond the Rain by Nut56. I hope y'all are enjoying the story as much as I am. Next week in part three should be the final part. No peeking ahead, though. Now, you can't peek ahead. You have to wait until it's all done, okay? That's the rules. All right, then. If you just can't stand it, though, I do have a link to the story in my show notes. One thing that you ought to do, though, if you enjoy the story, is drop an email to Nut. It's always good for the writers to get emails from their readers. I'll have a link to her email address in my show notes as well. The website to find all that information is xenafanfictionpodcast.com. If you'd like to drop me an email, it is xenacast@gmail.com. And if you'd just like to see everything that I'm up to, the website is xenacast.com. So go check it all out. Don't forget to go over and visit amyboatman.com and click on the big click here to donate link and go over and donate some money for my breast cancer 3-day walk. I would so appreciate it, and it's for a really good cause. So I hope you all have a really good week, and until next time, keep your pens to the paper and your imagination in the stars.
Further through the night.